Okay. It can be synced, but it doesn't have to be synced. Anyway, you know, this seems like a too hard project. So let's divide it into four parts. Each of them will be a bit simpler. Okay? So, part one, produce this cube of smoothings, but just the cube of smoothings and the max between them and the resmoothing between them. So unfortunately, the resolution of the screen is not sufficiently high, and also the handout that I originally gave you was not printed with a fine enough printer, or more precisely, I made a mistake of not making these figures clear enough. But let's look at these figures. So each of these tiny figures that appears on the edge is really sort of indicating two smoothings, the bold line and the dotted line one, right? And then I think the convention I used here is that the bold one is the smoothing at the end of the arrow, and the dotted one is the smoothing at the tail of the arrow. Okay? So, but this is sort of, how should I say that, diagrams in the plane information. It's a cue, it's a smoothing for each vertex, and a piece of information for each edge, which is a smoothing with one kind of exceptional place where you go from one type of smoothing to another. Okay? So the first step will be to produce a cube of smoothing informations. Okay. The second step. So the second step will be to produce a cube of vector spaces. So in other words, write an explicit basis for each of these vector spaces, and implement all the maps between them. You know, it sounds like a big deal, implement all the maps. It's really two lines of code, okay? But I mean, okay, if you think about these two lines well enough, it becomes two lines. So the second step will be to produce a cube of vector spaces, meaning explicit bases, and maps between them. Meaning, well, it will not be in the form of matrices, but essentially matrices going from basically, I will need to know what is the image of each vector in each of these vector spaces under each of these maps. Okay. Three is kind of easy. So basically, sum along the vertical columns. So, except the signs will enter here. This is where the sign, so this will be still a commuting cube. And the signs will enter as I sum the cube to get a complex. So, produce a complex. And then the final step will be, once you have a complex, compute its homology. So compute homology. And again, this may sound hard, but each of these steps is just a few lines of code, once you think about it. Hard enough. Okay? So let me tell you what I want my output to be. Okay? So, forget it. I want to do step one. I doubt we will do anything more than that today. Okay? But what should the output of step one be? Okay? So for every designator of a vertex of the n-dimensional cube, I should be able to produce a smoothing. So I should be able to give you, for every alpha inside 0, 1 to the n, you know what, let's call it A. So for every A inside 0, 1 to the n, I should give you S sub A, which is the smoothing corresponding to A. Now, what is the smoothing corresponding to A? So, a priori, or you might think that the only information is in a smoothing is how many cycles are in it. So, you know, if you were computing the Jones polynomial, then this would be just an integer or a natural number. Okay? Because it's just the only thing that matters is the number of cycles. Well, but this isn't the Jones polynomial. Actually, each cycle here has an identity. Okay, it's actually kind of part. It fits with what I said early on when I started about combinator, when I talked about categorification. Things should get an identity. Now, each cycle must have an identity because, like when you do a coproduct map, you are saying, I'm pointing at this cycle and this cycle is not changing. I have to do the identity, sorry, it's the word identity in a different sense. I'm doing the identity transformation from here to here. But on this cycle, I'm applying the coproduct. Now, here I'm saying this by pointing at the screen, but the computer must somehow have a way of distinguishing the different cycles. On cycle 3, I'm applying the coproduct, and on cycle 1, I'm applying the identity transformation. Or more precisely, on the copy of the vector space V corresponding to cycle 3, I'm applying the coproduct. On the copy of the vector space corresponding to cycle 1, I'm applying the identity map. So the cycles must have identities. They should be identifiable. Okay? So it's no longer a natural number, but rather it should be a list of cycles, each one with some identifying information. So C1, C3, C9. The identifying information doesn't have to be in sequence. All I need to know, all I should be able to tell you is cycle 3 is participating in some activity. There's no, or in fact, the identifying information is any set. Sort of the way to ID a cycle is to assign to it an element of a set. It doesn't have to be the integers from 1 to 7. Okay? Essentially, when I'm saying this cycle, then the set of cycles is the set of cycles that's drawn on the board. It's not numbered. They're not numbered. Okay? And second, So this is one piece of information that I should be giving you. And the second piece of information is for every psi, that's how to write psi. There's a reason why I never use psi in mathematics, okay? Except here. So for every psi inside 0, 1, and star to the n, but with only one star, so basically, for every edge, I need to tell you, I need to give you an S psi, So the smoothing information corresponding to psi, so this S and this S have nothing to do with each other. It's both represent smoothing information, but this is how you smooth vertices, so sequences of zeros and ones, this is the, how you smooth edges. But what information should be in S psi? The only thing you need to know in S psi is whether it's a joining or a splitting, and which cycles got joined or which cycle got split. So this could be either of two possibilities. It could either be the statement C1 and C3 got merged into a cycle which whose new name is, I don't know what, 7, or whose identifying information is 7, okay? Or it could be information of the form C2 got split into C8, C1, okay? Is it clear what I'm supposed to produce? Okay. So next, I need to make a design choice. How do I identify a cycle? What name do I associate with a cycle? So remember how my notes are inputted. So I'm trying, by the way, I should say, I'm trying to use the same ideology as the program of the, for the Jones polynomial, except it gets more complicated. So my notes are given as numbered edges, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Again, I'm using the integers and I'm using them in sequence, but it's not necessary. I mean, equally well, 6 could have been replaced by a cow. Okay, the fact that it's, okay, I'm using integers only because I don't know, I have no imagination. Okay? So this is a note, and then each crossing is given by the things around it. So this would be the crossing 4, 2, 5, 1, and so on.
So the mathematica insists on integers.
No.
Mathematica couldn't care less. Lists and positions and lists.
What?
Lists and positions and lists. That's all it can organize.
No, positions in lists are integers. But the entries of a list could be cows. Now, these are entries. These will never be positions. These will only be names of things. Symbols.
But when we input the symbols, they come in positions. Anyway,
yeah, if the program will be written well, then I could be using any symbols I wish for the edges. I could replace. In fact, if you take the Jones polynomial that we wrote together, and you replace the numbers by cows or you know whatever you want, the program will still work by symbols or by complicated expressions of any kind. The program will work just as well. It should, at least. Unless we made mistakes. Should we look at it?
I'm going to look at it.
Okay. Anyway, so what are the cycles? So I wish I had a colored chalk. I keep making the mistake of not bringing colored chalk. But suppose I smooth the picture like this, and it becomes something like, let me just redraw it, okay. So, here is the original picture, let's re-smooth it to that. The edges are still numbered. So this edge is still can carry the number 2, this is still carried, can carry the number 5, this one still is 4, this one is still 4, 1, 4, sorry, 3 and 6, okay? So in fact, the cycles have an identity already. And the identity is which edges they go through. So this would be the 4, 2, 5, 1 cycle, and this will be the 3, 6 cycle. Okay? So the name for a cycle would be a set of the edges that it goes through. Okay? Now, that will work, but A, it's more information than I need, but it's inefficient, and it's more information than what I need. All I need is to have a way of identity of pointing at a cycle. Okay? Or naming a cycle. So instead of naming a cycle by the set of edges it goes through, I could name it by the smallest number edge it goes through. Okay? And there is enough information in it, if you know which smoothing it is, there is enough information in it to know which cycle we're talking about. In other words, the minimally numbered edge on each cycle is determines it. So this would be cycle 1, and this will be cycle 3. And now you're right. I've actually, in doing so, I've actually decided that I'm using numbers to denote the edges, to use the edges. Or in fact, not necessarily numbers, but the members of an ordered set. So even of numbers, it could easily be pi, right? So it's not really integers in sequence, but just members of an ordered set. Okay?
Seems like we're going to have to name the cycles at every step.
What do you mean? Let's try to do it now, okay? So my current goal is to implement S sub A. And then my later goal will be to implement S sub Xi. Okay? Again, this sounds like big deal, but it isn't big deal. Okay? So, let's start. Okay? So, I want to define an operation S. I actually gave you a complete implementation in one of the handouts, but I will try not to use it, not to cheat. Okay? This is if we get stuck. Okay? So, and also, let's modernize notation. I mean, this was written in 2000. What you see there was written in 2001, a zillion versions of Mathematica ago. Let's write something that could be written now. So, for example, one thing that's available now and that wasn't available in 2001 is subscripts. So, I can actually use the notation S sub A, as opposed to S bracket A, okay? So I want to use S sub A. I want to define S sub A to be something. Okay, to be this operator. Okay? So,
but it's still S sub A. It's just aesthetics.
Yeah, it's only aesthetics, yes. Yeah. Now, A should be a list of zeros and ones, right? Yeah. Now, this class is a mixture between, heavy-duty mathematics, as we did last hour, and then nitty-gritty details of Mathematica implementation. So now I need to observe what this really means. Okay. So So let's do it on the side. So maybe I'll open a new notebook for experiments. So, oi, this is awful. I cannot see the top of the screen. Okay. So let's open a new notebook for experiments. Okay, so first of all, this one goes here. Let's open a new notebook. File, new notebook. And, oish. Sorry. Okay. So this one is just for experiments. So, how is Mathematica interpreting S sub 1? Okay, so let's do S sub 1 and type it and show it in full form. So, it's really the expression, right? Everything in Mathematica is an expression. When I write it in full form, it shows what the expression is. So it's the expression subscript S, 1. Okay? How will Mathematica interpret S sub 1 and 2? So let me turn this into full form. And again, the S sub 1, 2 becomes subscript of S and 1 and 2. Okay? So really, I need my program, or I need to make a definition, a delayed rule, a delayed assignment for things of the form S, 1, 2, or you know, S, a list of patterns. Okay? A list of things. Now, or a sequence of things, sorry, okay? So we've mostly, or we've several times, we've written things of the form f of n is equal to f of n minus 1 plus blah, 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 okay? But what if I wanted to define a function that will be defined on a varying number of variables. Okay, so I want, right, because I want to make a definition with S and then a sequence of integers. Okay? Actually, I should not have used 1 and 2 here, because, you know, I'm in the game that I'm playing, this will be a sequence of zeros and ones. So I should have done, something more realistic. Okay? Okay, so for this, there is, so for a single pattern, there is an underscore. For a sequence of patterns, there is a double underscore. I think, have we used it before? I don't recall. Okay? So basically, if I say f of, oh sorry, caps lock was on. If I define f of, f was already used. So g of n double underscore is equal to, you know, let's just display it, okay? So let's just write the list in which n, sorry, let's call it ns. This is my internal convention. This is not Mathematica. To remind myself that n is that this is a sequence of things, I call it the n's, not a single n. Okay. So let's form this definition, and now let's look at g of 1, 2, 3. So g of 1, 2, 3 will be the least 1, 2, 3 because the sequence 1, 2, 3 was, whatever was here got put in here, and so it's now a list. Okay? So, in fact, I could this way define a function sum. So, sum of x's is defined to be take the list of x's and replace the head by plus. Okay? Or alternatively, I could have simply written plus of x's. Okay, and now I have a program that does sum. So sum of 2, 3, and 4 should be, oh my god, none. Yay! Okay? For what we will do now, this is sufficient. But I should tell you, if we're at it, that there is also triple underscore. So double underscore means a sequence of things of length at least one. Triple underscore allows length zero. So in fact, sum of an empty set right now is not defined. But if I'll define a new sum, so let's call it num, I don't know. So num of x's with triple underscore, so now num of x's with triple underscore is now defined to be, I don't know. Let's make it the same. So plus apply to these x's, and now num of 10, 12, and 13, it came out 1 and 3, so what should it be? 22, 23, 26, good. But num of the empty set is 0. So for what we do, I don't care about it, because I'm never going to feed my program, I'm never going to use the zero dimensional cube. Okay? Let's use it in the case of subscript. Okay? So, let's define, or not yet defined, so let's define, I don't know, a temporary S, just for the experiment, sub, and now I can have a sequence of things, so sub the A's, where the A's are a sequence, and now I want to define it to be, I don't know, let's find the sum of coordinates. Surely we will use it at some point, right? So this should be plus applied to the A's, okay? So this is a definition I just made, and now what is TS of 0, 0, 1, 1, 0? Well, if we're lucky, it should be
2.
Okay. So at least now we know the syntax of what S should look like, okay? So we're looking at S sub A double underscore, and maybe I should call it A's, because it's a sequence of A's, not a single. No, well, actually, the way I used it here, A is
already
a sequence. So no, so let's stick with the mathematics and not with my conventions. Okay, so S sub A should be the following thing. Okay, now what should I do? I should take, I should be applying it, it should be evaluated on some knot. Okay? So it should be evaluated on a K, where K, let's not do any naming. So K will be a knot. I suppose we better enter a knot to start with, okay, so that we can play. Okay? So K should be, let's enter this knot. So it's x of 4, 2, 5, 1, x of, I should use xp and xm. Positive crossing, Okay, what's the second one? It's 2, 6, 3, 5. 2, 6, 3, 5, and then XP of 6, 4, 1, 3. 6, 4, 1, 3. Okay. Okay, so now I have the note. Now, the expressions that should make sense here, I mean, is something of the form, the thing I should be producing is S of, sorry, S sub 101 of K. Okay? Right? This should make sense. I mean, when I hit enter, well, nothing happened because I haven't defined anything, but once my definitions will be complete, this should be some product of C's. Okay? Whew. So what should I do? I should take each of the crossings and apply to it either the 1 smoothing or the 0 smoothing according to the corresponding coordinate of the A's. Okay? So I should be able to somehow match, or I should somehow make the program match the crossings and the coordinates of A. So I could do it by some ugly way. So for example, I could do, I don't know, let's just set it to be the table as I goes from 1 to, sorry, let me leave a play. What? Enter doesn't work? Okay. So let me make a table of things as I go from 1 to the length of k. But now I have to tell you what the things are, and the things will be ordered pairs, the corresponding crossings with the corresponding index of a. So k I ordered pair A I. Sorry, ordered pair. I need a comma here, and I need a close bracket here, and I need a close bracket here. And what's going on here? Oh, comma. Okay. Sorry. This was painful, but what is going on? I'm just trying to make it more readable. Table. Yeah, okay. So this is my proposed way of starting. So make a table of these things. Later I will act on this table, but let's start, okay? So this is supposed to give me, like when I apply it on this input, I should be getting 1, comma, the first crossing, and then this is the first entry of the table. The second entry of the table is 0 cross, comma, the second crossing, and then, okay? This will fail.
Because A is not a list.
Right. A is not a list. A is a sequence of things. In fact, internally, A is just a sequence of things without being a list. So to make it into a list, I will have to first put it in braces. This will actually work. So if I do this and now that, then I got what I wanted. Okay? Now the next step is to take this table and apply to it a bunch of rules. And the rules will be rules of the form. If you see a zero and then an xp of I, j, k, and l, you replace it by the corresponding smoothing. Okay? Whatever the corresponding smoothing is. And then there will be another rule of the form. If you see a... So overall there should be four such rules. So the next rule should be, if you see a 1 and an xp, then you replace it by blah blah blah, something. And then there should be a rule of the form, if you see a 0 and an xm, you replace it by something, and finally a 1 and an xm. So four rules. Okay? But we're running out of time. So, which is, it's a horrible place to run out of time, but I should have warned you in advance. I have to finish a bit early today because I have to run to some other building. So, so maybe just what will be the strategy? So, each one will be replaced by its smoothing information. And the smoothing information will include another parameter for the name for the smoothing. And then I will apply the contraction operations. So operations of the form P, A, B, P, B, C goes to P, A, C, except they will become more complicated because they will also need to retain the identity information. Okay? And that's basically it for S sub. Finally, I will need to replace PAA with a cycle. Okay? So it's much like the Jones polynomial, except a bit more complicated. And finally, I will have to look at it again and find tricks to make it shorter. More appealing. Okay? So that's the plan, but we will execute it after the break.
Do we have class next week?
No. Wait, is it at all legal to have classes?
I think for grad, should I say that or should I not
say that?
What? No, so for grad courses, it is normally, it depends on the professor or.
Okay, I'll do whatever others do. I don't care. Let's put it differently. I'll do whatever you say. How many of you want classes next week? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many of
maybe
you?
Maybe just like a 2-hour class.
We can't have class on Monday anyways. The university is closed, so right. We can only have the 2-hour on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, okay. How many of you want to have the Wednesday class? Pretty much all of you. Okay, so we will have a Wednesday class.
Maybe I should have
Okay.
I guess we have a majority. I'm not going to be in the problem, so I won't be able to come.
How about I put it on video again?
Okay, yeah.
Jonathan, can you turn off the video?
Yes.